Hey, we are back in session for our committee meeting, and our next is Student Affairs, Mr. Dennison.
As always.
I can guarantee that this is the best part of the
always the best part, because this is why we're here, and I'm so excited for Dr. Sales to give us a presentation.
All right, thank you so much, Regent Dennison, and good morning to everyone. As you all know, we have some amazing students here at Western Kentucky University, and we also have some amazing faculty, staff, and departments that provide the support services that they need to our students in order to be successful. So I have some of my colleagues here today, and I'm going to ask, first of all, Una, if she would start, and you all already have handouts, or you should have handouts, in reference to the presentation today.
Thank you, Dr. Sales. Good morning, everyone. For those of you who do not know me, I'm Anna Demir, and I'm the Executive Director in the Office of Institutional Equity and the Title IX Coordinator here at WKU. For those of you who are not familiar with our office, I do want to take just a moment to talk about the Office of Institutional Equity. So the Office of Institutional Equity, or OIE, what we like to call it, was created about 3 years ago with the intention of serving as a one-stop shop for all issues, concerns, matters related to discrimination and harassment. So our office has compliance oversight related to Title VI, Title VII, Title IX, ADA, and all other state and federal laws dealing with discrimination and harassment. So you're probably wondering, well, how does that really relate to student experience, to student success, and the student support programs which we're here to talk about today? And it relates in a very significant way. These student support programs can't function and do what they do without our office ensuring that every student on our campus belongs and has access to what they need to be successful. I think sometimes compliance gets a bad reputation, right? We're a compliance office, and so I understand that. But compliance and student success, in my opinion, goes hand in hand. Because I think somebody else mentioned, I think Bruce mentioned something earlier about WKU doing the right thing. And that's really what's most important. When we do the right thing, not only are we complying with all of these laws that we're supposed to comply with, obviously, but we're also supporting our students. We're empowering them to really reach their full potential and to make sure that they're able to succeed on the Hill. So it doesn't matter who they are, what their background is, where they come from. We want to make sure that everyone has an equitable opportunity to belong, to feel value, and to be connected. And so with that in mind, I do want to talk about SARC as well, which some of you probably are aware what SARC stands for. SARC is the Student Accessibility Resource Center, which is the office that handles all of the student disability requests and accommodations, also is in charge of accessibility concerns and issues, and also really makes sure that these students with disabilities are connected to the right programs, have all of the right tools necessary to succeed. And so within the last year or so, SARC has transitioned within our office now, Office of Institutional Equity. And so that's why Dr. Sales has kindly asked me to speak here with you and answer any questions that you all might have about OIE or SARC. But I do want to note that SARC really lays the foundation for a lot of these student support programs. And so SARC, obviously, when we think about SARC, we think about the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. So everything we do within SARC, we have to keep that in mind. And what does the ADA mean? ADA requirements are that WKU has to provide reasonable accommodations to all students with a documented disability. And so that's really where it starts, because we want to make sure that these students with a documented disability have an equitable opportunity to succeed, to go to their classes, to learn, and to be successful on the Hill. So it starts with those academic accommodations, but then also SARC has the opportunity to connect those students with some of these other programs, which you will hear about today, and you will hear some success stories as well, which are wonderful, I think. I didn't create the handout. Scott, our lovely graphic designer, he's excellent. He created the handout. But you should have in front of you a handout that really summarizes all of these different programs and units, because sometimes it's confusing to me as well how they all intersect, how they differ, what their purpose is. But you will see OIE, SARC, TRIO, SAVI, and CAP, and how really all of that relates to, one, our compliance efforts, but also WKU's mission, goals, and values of belonging. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want all of our students to feel, is that they belong in the classroom and on the Hill. I do want to know about SARC. SARC does an excellent job. We have our director, Dr. Peggy Crow, and the team. They do an excellent job in making sure that these students have what they need. And a lot of times when people talk about reasonable accommodations, sometimes it's difficult to know what that means. I do want you all to know that it's a very effective process, and it's based on a case-by-case basis. It's really an individualized assessment to determine what works the best for our student. Each student is different, their needs are different, but also the classes they are taking are different. The fields that they are taking are different. And so it's an individualized assessment to determine what makes the most sense for that particular student in their given field. We don't want to ever compromise academic integrity. I know that was also talked about earlier with regard to the AI conversation. So also with regard to these accommodations, we don't want to compromise academic integrity, because we don't want to substantially change courses, objectives, but we do have to also support our students within that framework. And so if you all ever have any questions about Office of Institutional Equity or SARC, what the purposes are and how we operate, I would welcome any questions here today, or if y'all ever want to talk about this further at another point, I welcome any questions, thoughts, proposals, anything y'all may have. So thank you all so much for your time. I think the other presentations are going to be a lot more interesting than mine, because we'll hear directly from some students. But thank you all so much for letting me speak to y'all today.
So before you step away,
yes.
since you're talking about SARC, and before we go into other areas, do you have data that shows how many SARC accommodations we are making, how many students we're accommodating, and how that's trended over time?
Sure. Yeah, currently right now we have about 1,900 students who are registered, and about 92% matriculate to the next semester. And so I think over the years, I can't give you an exact amount, but I do think there has been an increased trend for various reasons. But we have seen an increase.
Dr. Dennis and I were talking about some of those various reasons and what we see with the students today. So what is the institutional risk that we have if we're not doing those accommodations, if we're not able to meet that?
What is the institutional risk if we're not meeting accommodations?
Yes.
Well, it is definitely an institutional risk, because then we are at risk of potentially violating the ADA, and Ms. Anderson probably knows about that more than any of us here, but it is a risk. But our office really manages that risk, and I don't want to get too compliance language, but our goal is to ensure, one, that the student is supported, but we also ensure that faculty, for example, in these decisions have a voice, right? Because sometimes there's a perception with accommodations that, and I don't mean this in a negative way at all, but sometimes there's a perception that if a student asks for something, they're automatically going to get it. Well, that's not what the ADA says, and that's not what the ADA mandates. But the ADA says that they have to be provided reasonable accommodations depending on their documented disability. And a lot of times when it comes to classrooms, you being a faculty, I'm sure you understand some of the concerns and challenges and so forth, but it's really a conversation as to figuring out, okay, is this actually going to work? Because if an accommodation substantially alters the course and objectives of a class, then it's not a reasonable accommodation. So it doesn't necessarily have to be granted, if that makes sense. So we really balance all of those different factors to determine what is best. And again, it goes back to figuring out what is right. What is right for the student, what is right for the faculty member, and really at the end of the day, it's what's best and right for WKU as a whole.
Absolutely, incredibly important office, and I think when I first got on the board, I remember telling a story in one of the retreats about helping a student find that office. And they got their accommodation letter, but after they learned what they could do, they never used it. They just knew they had that backup. And then they came back a couple of years later. They started their career crying in my office over grades and some classes, but they graduated. And so, as you said, that inclusiveness of what we have here. I have gone down to the office multiple times this semester. I tend to deliver the test myself, and I'm quite frankly a little concerned about if we have enough staffing there because of the 1,900 students and how incredibly important it is, and the risk that we have, and just making sure that we are, because they have to interact with so many faculty on campus, and it is an important area. So I hope we are able to meet the needs of our students in that. So.
Thank you, Regent Spahn.
Two quick comments.
Yes.
I love this. Your graduation rate is 61.8%. National average is 20-40%. Somebody is really doing a great job.
Yeah, I can't take the credit for that. That is actually my colleague, and I think you're referring to the Kelly Autism Program.
Yes.
Yes, so they are going to speak here in a little bit. Do you want to segue to that right now, or...
Yeah.
Could I make one comment before we go? Anna mentioned the creation of this the new office that reports to the provost. That was a strategic and intentional decision to separate out the compliance function from the general counsel's office. And there was a perceptual risk for us that sometimes, because it was in the general counsel's office, someone who came to... general counsel and said, I have an issue with harassment or discrimination, the potential perception was that, well, the general counsel's office is going to mitigate legal exposure through that. And Andrew used to sit in this seat. Nothing could be farther from the truth, but sometimes it was a perception used. And so what we did is we split the function off out of the president and general counsel's office, moved into the provost's office, so that when folks come, they don't feel like there's any oversight from general counsel that has the legal exposure for the university a front of mind. So that's why we created the office.
Thank you, President.
My second comment is I have a great nephew who has been and continues to be a beneficiary of the autism program here at Western, and I'm just big on that.
That's
a great program.
That is wonderful. Yes, that's all to the work of our colleagues at the Kelly Autism Program. So, does anybody else have any questions about OIE or SARC? I do. Yes.
I could ask questions all day, but I mean, I do a lot of forms for children with attention deficit disorder and our special needs for that. I mean, is that where that's going to come in here, this office? I mean, do you all get that too?
Yes, so that's SARC. So OIE and SARC is separate, but SARC is under OIE now. So the way that works is a student has to self-disclose their disability. We don't know if a student has a disability, and we obviously can't assume somebody has a disability for different reasons. So they have to self-disclose their disability, and then they will have to register with the Student Accessibility Resource Center, SARC. And there's a process that is in place where they actually have to submit some medical documentation. So it could be medical documentation from their primary care physician, maybe a psychiatrist, whoever it is that they're seeing that documents their disability and shows us a history of what their disability is, what their needs are, what their treatment might have been. And so that will get that process moving. And then after the staff processes that, they will issue what we call FNL, faculty notification letters, and then those will go out to the faculty that sort of outline what those specific accommodations are.
Do you get any high school records on the entering freshmen, you know, IEPs and that kind of stuff? Does that transfer?
That is a great question, and Dr. Crow, Peggy Crow, has helped me understand a lot of that myself since I've been over this department now, but yes, there are a lot of records that come in from high school. However, one of the challenges that WKU might face is that just because a student had a certain accommodation or a certain plan in high school doesn't automatically mean it's going to transfer to college and higher education, because we're looking at different laws. They're looking at different compliance efforts, but also we might have a little bit of different goals and expectations out of our college students that we didn't have for a high school student. So yes, we do get those records, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're outcome determinative, if that makes sense. Yeah, that's a great question. And one thing I do want to note about our offices, I always tell everyone, whoever has heard me speak before, I apologize, I'm kind of a broken record, but I always make sure that our processes are fair and equitable, because sometimes I get asked the question, well, do you all advocate for the faculty? Do you advocate for students? Of course we advocate for everyone, but one of the first things we advocate for is a fair and equitable process, because at the end of the day, that ensures that all of us are able to belong. Obviously, we're here to talk about students, but all of us should be able to belong on campus, faculty, staff, students, visitors, guests, whoever it may be. So that's really the goal of all of this. Does anybody? Well, thank you all so much for your questions. Again, if you all ever want to talk about any of this further, I would be happy to, but I will turn it over to my colleagues who do the real work, the real impactful work. So thank you all so much. Thank you.
All right, Regent Milliken, it's wonderful to hear that you have utilized our services. I'm Christina Knoll, and I'm at the Clinical Education Complex, which houses the Kelly Autism Program. We serve about 70 autistic college students. They are fully enrolled as WPD students. Oh, everyone's moving away from me. They're fully enrolled as WKU students, and they were selected to be a part of our program through a rigorous application process. The program carries with it a $5,000 program fee. About 90% of our participants have that fee paid for by the Office of Voc Rehab, and then a few have private pay. And so Caroline is going to tell us more about the components of the program.
Yeah, so my name is Caroline Hudson, and I'm the director of the Kelly Autism Program. And our college program is built on these pillars of support, all designed to promote student success. And these pillars include weekly advising meetings to work on executive function skills, study table and tutoring sessions, social and connection opportunities, mentoring, the opportunity for a private dorm room space, and then mental health support.
Hi, my name is Peyton Collins. I am the Director of Mental Health Services with the Kelly Autism Program. One unique aspect, as Caroline mentioned, of our program is that all college-aged participants have access to mental health counseling. It's included in the $5,000 fee that Dr. Knoll mentioned. The goal of the program is to help students in their personal and academic goals, to help them grow. At this point, I'm excited to honor and highlight two of our students who are with us today. We have Shay Ryan Kessler, who is a graduate student here at WKU, and we have Mr. Alex Bentley, who is a senior undergraduate student here at WKU. The Kelly Autism Program also serves as a student training facility. So students have as our previous executive director referred to it, it's the treasure trove of learning for our graduate students and our student workers. So with us today, we have Ms. Reagan, who is a graduate student, I believe. Yeah.
And all of these programs and supports go together to, as Regent Milliken pointed out, get us to a graduation rate which is much higher than the national average. So our graduation rate is around 61.8%, and the national graduation rate for autistic college students sits at about 25% to 40%. And if you all have questions, our students would love to chat with you.
I'd love for each of the students to talk, you know, tell us what they've done here, what they're doing.
Yeah.
Majors.
Shay, would you like to go first? Your graduate program?
So I graduated last semester with psychology from the Kelly Autism Program, and this is my first semester of grad school. And so I used to go to get their services every day from Monday through Friday, and now I go on Fridays because grad school is a bit different than undergrad. And so I take services from Peyton, and he's my counselor. They now have a second counselor who is also an advisor. So if you are her client for counseling, you cannot be her advisee. But if you are her advisee, you cannot see her for counseling. That is the
professional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand that a $5,000 fee is incredibly expensive, but the vocational rehabilitation center will often take that fee and pay for it, like they pay for mine. And they can also pay for books as well, and will take your family income into consideration and might cover some of tuition.
Shay and I just had the opportunity to present undergraduate research at a conference in Louisville, and you did a great job of just speaking briefly about how CAP has helped you.
Yeah.
Would you all be interested in hearing a little bit about that?
Yeah, please.
Well, so, well, I don't have my bullet points that I have. they provide private dorms for the price of the regular dorms. So like a lot of times you have to pay an extra fee in order to not have a roommate because roommates suck. They don't make you pay that extra fee. So that's nice. And I was being bullied my first year, and they were able to get me out of that dorm and into a new dorm. So that was nice. The tutoring, you don't, you know, necessarily have to have it, but it's like there if you need it. So when you go to study tables, it's like a nice studious area and environment for you to focus on your assignments. And if you need help, you can ask for it. So like checking to make sure that your papers are grammatically correct, asking for assistance for math if you struggle with math, making sure your citations are correct, just any area that you're struggling. If you're not processing an assignment that you're supposed to be doing correctly, then a tutor can help you understand what you're supposed to be doing. I've had classmates get stressed out about assignments, like, we had to interview 10 people. Well, there are 10 people at the CAP, so I can go and ask people things. I got an apartment. They decided to give my room away for some reason, and they wanted to put me in a dorm, and they made sure that I wasn't put in a dorm and that I kept my apartment. So that was nice.
Another, and I can step into for a second. So another thing that Shay did last summer is she did one of our summer internships, which was one of our new initiatives, and she worked all summer, and they offered her the job, so she is able to continue working now as a graduate student.
Oh, yes, that's my boss right there.
Small world. Excellent. And then, Alex, would you like to have an opportunity to introduce yourself?
Sure. So I'm Alex. I am a senior at Western, of course, studying biochemistry and MedLab science with a certificate in data analysis. Two of my bosses are here, one of which is I do research under Dr. Knoll, and then my other boss being Dean Brown. So, funny turnout. But I'm also a student as CAP as well, but part of what I also do while I'm there, in addition to all those other student responsibilities, is I am a coordinator of the tutor program. So I basically help ensure that all of our students are currently getting the academic assistance that they may need in any of their subject areas, whether that be math, science, English, anything on campus, ensuring the tutors are providing said services, the students are actually getting the help that they need, and helping to ensure that they can pass their classes and get the needed support. CAP has just been great for me the entire time I'm here. I started out as a freshman in 2022, yeah, long time ago. And it's been great. They've been helping me with exams. I've been one of the kids that have been needed tutoring before on quite a few chemistry classes, but it's been a great success. They do a bunch of different social events, which is where they come out and you come and just do whatever the event is that day. We do stuff from yoga to video game nights to reading nights to just taking a walk somewhere on campus or off campus to restaurant nights to game nights at DSU. And we've even started partnering with some of the other clubs and organizations on campus, one of which is one of the ones that I founded, but that's a whole other thing. Making sure that students have both involvement on campus and off of campus so that they're making not just friends here, but they also have the support that they could need to get through the program, and ensuring that the program is fun and college is a good experience for them. In terms of academic assistance, they do study tables, which are about 9 to 12 hours a week. They'll go before and after class, built around entirely around their class schedule and or work or internships that they might have, because we want them to get that needed success while they're here on campus, but also get the ones that are off campus as well to build that career so that whenever you get done with your experience at Western, you don't have just that piece of paper. You have the skills and the internships to be successful post-graduation. Which is one of the big initiatives that's also part of the program, building the career, building the success, partially, which I think is why we do so well, is also supported by our summer internship program. During the summer, I did research for Dr. Knoll, part of which was all kinds of different data analysis.
A lot of grants.
Yeah.
Actually, Alex is the one who made the handout for us, so mm-hmm. even though you heard all those science, you know, medical areas that he studies in, he also did this for us just on a short notice. Do you all have any additional questions?
So the best way to get a child enrolled in this program?
Yeah. So you can tell somebody to go to our website, and they would fill out an application packet, and then typically we'll kind of bring them in to do a tour of the program, and then we'll bring them in and do a more formal interview. And then we will let them know if they are accepted into the program or not. If they're not, of course, they still will maintain the services of TRIO and SARC. So WKU has lots of support. The cap is just for about 70 students.
How much outreach do you do? Do the local schools know a lot about this program, or...
Caroline, do you want to speak to that? Because you've started.
Right. We certainly, you know, hope so. We just sent out information to all of our school counselors in this region to make certain that they knew. Because sometimes our college students may not be served by an individualized education plan in the public schools. So we wanted to make certain that our local counselors were aware that WKU can be a really great option for a lot of students. Students in your district, and we are already seeing an uptick in interest calls and interview packets that have been sent out since that letter campaign that we just also, you know, promoted. And we're also trying to be much a real goal, be much more visible on campus. Of, you know, we just did a presentation for housing, and then we've been invited to do something additional for housing in January. So we also want to be deeply connected not only to our South Central Kentucky community, but also our campus community as well, about understanding more about the supports needed to make autistic students successful right here at WKU.
Thank you,
guys,
so much. We just have a couple more, just presentations if you guys want to come up.
I'm Raina Flemons, and I'm here today to share with you about the WKU Savvy program. In 2006, my son Caden was born, and I received a towel from my colleagues at WKU that said Future Hilltopper, and that stung just a little bit because Caden was born with Down syndrome and autism. I didn't really know if he would have a place at WKU. So after I returned from maternity leave, I contacted Dr. David Coffey, who was running SARC at that time. And I guess he realized that I was a parent going through a lot. And I just said, Dr. Coffey, what's going to happen to Caden when he goes to WKU? I want him to go to WKU. My husband and I had the Hilltopper experience, and I want him to have that Hilltopper experience as well. And he said, Raina, by the time that Caden gets ready to go to WKU, there will be a program for him. He must have had a crystal ball because 2 years short of his 18th birthday, Dr. Noel reached out to me and asked if I would help her co-found the WKU Savvy program. And we did with a team. The Savvy program stands for Social, Academic, and Vocational Training. And it is a federally approved comprehensive transition to post-secondary education program that allows our students who have intellectual disabilities to tap into federal resources through Pell Grants and other scholarships so that they can attend a program in a higher education setting. We currently have 8 students who participate in our program, and that seems like a really low number, and it is, because of the amount of support that we offer the students who participate in our program. This is a success story for WKU in numerous ways. First, it shows how people can reach out among the different silos that we have at the university and use their intellectual capital to create programs that are innovative and serve a need within a community. Second, it aligns perfectly with our strategic plan because we actually lived out the vision of being a regional lighthouse. We looked out into the community and we saw a need through work demand, skills that were needed, and we filled that gap. It also provided opportunities for individuals like my friend here, Claire Lanham, who's in our Savvy program, to become a Hilltopper, and she'll soon be an alum of the Savvy program. Claire, do you have something to tell the board?
So for the Savvy program is to go like events or I do classes with Michael Matney, and he's a part of our program as well.
Mm-hmm. Michael Matney is our director for the Savvy program. He provides instruction for our Savvy students to help them become college students and have that college experience while they're here. And he also ensures that their schedules are accurate and that they get to their classes, right?
Right.
Anything else? Okay. Any questions?
So yes.
I'm sorry.
No. What do you limit the program to 7 or do you or just so that they get?
We try to limit the program to about 5 per year. So that we can provide the services that we need to provide. But we really have no definite limits. We'll always take students. They pay full tuition, plus they pay a program fee on top of that, so that we can fund our director position and also provide additional services for them.
I love, like, the social and academic, like, that seems obvious, but, like, the employment preparation, I think that's awesome. Can you speak a little bit about kind of what that looks like for your students?
Sure. We are working right now to align our program with the Kentucky Graduate Profile, which aligns with the 10 essential skills that we want our graduates to have by the time they leave WKU. We've taken that mandate from the Council on Postsecondary Education, and we're applying it to our Savvy program and ensuring that our students have skills. We do a lot of person-centered planning. That means that when students come to us, we actually take those IEPs that were asked about earlier. We align those with the student's curriculum along with their vocational interests that they expressed in high school. We build personalized plans for them. If we identify that there are certain social needs that they have or skills that they need to develop, we will align their courses to work on those skills. One of the requirements of a CTP is that you take 50% of your requirements for the Savvy program alongside traditional college students. So our students are actually enrolled in classes along with other WKU students for their receiving that college experience and the academic knowledge. But that plan is built based on their career interest and their individualized needs.
Awesome.
Other questions?
Yes, ma'am. So tuition is the same.
Yes.
But then there's an extra fee.
Yes.
And then I'm assuming they don't live on campus. They are transported by parents usually.
We have transports that we have a centralized drop-off and pickup location where our students meet on the days they have classes and where they're picked up on those days. We do not have housing at this time. That is something we'll expand on in the future.
I'd like to ask the young lady what she likes the best about Western.
So I'm in a sorority for Western Kentucky University. I'm in a freshman year of college, and I'm in the Alpha Gamma Delta sorority.
Definitely the social part.
My traditional college student.
Always the best part.
Any other questions?
This is wonderful. And again, I didn't know we did this. This is great. You know, this would be wonderful if we could serve more than eight students, because there's tons of kids that could benefit.
Absolutely. And you asked the question earlier about if people know about it. Our program director will actually go to a student's transition meeting in high school to help prepare them for the transition to college and work that into their IEP plan. So the goals they are working on while they are in high school will align with working on the social and academic part of a college experience. Anything else?
Thank you. Last but not least, we got one more. I know we're here. Thank you. We'll wrap up with our trio program, Student Support Services, serving our students with disabilities.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I promise I will be brief. I want to make sure that our program gets a highlight, but also want to respect your time as well. So my name is Jimmy Martin. I'm the Project Director for Student Support Services Disabilities, which is one of our eight trio programs here at WKU. WKU actually sits in a really unique position to have two different SSS programs on campus. We have our traditional SSS program that's been in Jones-Jagger Hall since the 1980, mm-hmm. thank you.
Yes.
And then our office joined campus back in 2020. Nothing was happening in 2020, right? Totally chill year, right? During that first grant cycle, our office was able to graduate 89 students who would have otherwise not been able to graduate without our program. So pretty impressive for our first 5 years. Right now, we are in the middle of our second grant cycle. This is year one of five. Our next grant cycle will expire in 2030. SSSD and other TRIO programs, of course, are federally funded from the Department of Education. We're here to serve first generation, Pell Grant eligible, and then for our program specifically, students with some kind of a documented disability. We prioritize working with our students on personalized academic, financial, career, and social resources to help them be successful. A couple of other highlights that I mentioned. Currently, we are keeping students here at an 80% rate, persisting from 1 year to the other. And we have 77% of our students in the program who have above a 2.0 GPA. I have two students with me here today. I have Caitlin Eversole. Caitlin is a senior interdisciplinary studies major, emphasis in education. She's also in the JUMP program for student affairs and higher education. And I have Mr. James Stevens, who is a transfer senior, who is in sports management major and a marketing minor. And I will open the floor for them if you all would like to ask them any questions.
Can you tell us about the leadership retreat going on later today?
Yeah, so we are hosting, I believe Mr. Bud Fisher earlier said for us, we are hosting the First Generation Student Leadership Conference this afternoon. We'll be hosting it from about noon to 8:30 p.m. So if any of you guys are night owls, make sure we're going to have some fun trivia and a little dance party going on, so come join us. But we'll also be doing it on tomorrow from about 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. So I think, Jimmy, did you start this idea?
I did.
Yes.
So my office, we typically take students to, it's called the Circle of Change. It's a national first-generation student leadership conference. Unfortunately, that conference is only offered twice a year in two places, Miami and LA. Totally cheap and realistic places to go, right? No. So over the summer, I met with April McCauley and Sierra Waller from the First Gen Initiative office, and I said, hey, can we take that type of a conference and bring it to campus? And we are doing just that starting tonight.
Yeah, and so today we will be having students from WKU, students from SkyCTC, the local community college in Bowling Green, as well as, I think it's about 20
of our Trio Upward Bound local high school seniors. So we're going to have students from three different kind of areas, and they're all going to come together, and we're going to learn how to be, our theme is superheroes, because being first gen, your superhero identity. So our staff is going to be wearing some superhero capes, so make sure to stop by and get a picture. That'll be really fun. But we're going to be educating our students and helping them to realize just that their first generation identity is a superpower to them. A lot of times being first generation, limited income, students with disabilities or whatever, can be seen as kind of a disability, it can be seen as a disadvantage, anything like that. So instead, we want to turn that narrative for them and help them see that being first gen is their superpower and that they can be successful even despite the difficulties and the differences that set them back.
Question?
Thank you for transferring. You figured out that was the right thing to do.
I didn't know what West Kentucky offered. I didn't know what Kentucky offered. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, so I didn't know what offered. I just knew I wanted to work in sports, and so I didn't know I was in the SD program until I got an email from him. And so we meet once a month, twice a month, and I'm usually talking my butt off. he's called me the hustler 101 because
this guy is a real hustler. He's like, every time I throw an idea, he's like, "Oh no, I've already been doing that for like 6 months." Here's my idea.
Yeah, but I'm usually my motto, like, why not me? Like, why not? I usually tell myself brick by brick because I'm usually focused on three aspects. I'm focusing on school, career, or faithful stuff. So like, I'm usually. I'm usually not working in class. I'm usually working, so I'm usually at the games working with my internship. I've been with internship for main two different departments, online time on campus, because that's my one goal. I've got to be working while I'm here. And so I've just been working with communications, PR, stuff like that, just been learning the craft and stuff like that. But I'm just good to be here. That's just how it is.
Thank you. As a first generation, you know, I love seeing all that you're doing. So definitely what the president says, you have changed the trajectory for your families and for your community. So,
great. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Thank you. As I often tell individuals who ask me about WKU, and I do believe that we are a family and that we don't watch our students climb, but we climb with our students, and we are stronger together when we work together. Thank you.
Always the best presentation.
It is the best. You are right. You always have to be honest. Thank you. All right.